إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al Imran mentioned in these great ayat, which are among the ayat which are the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us in the Quran, and nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than he can introduce himself. He introduced himself to us in the Quran, and he did that in extremely clear and explicit terms. He also did that in terms which relate to us and to our fundamental fears and anxieties about life. You see, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have introduced himself in any number of ways. There is no limit on how or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said. But if you see the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in Ayat al-Kursi, whether it is in these Ayat of Surah al-Imran, whether it is in the Ayat of Surah al-Hashr and elsewhere, and I'm mentioning these three sets of Ayat and of course Surah al-Ikhlas, because they are a set of Ayat, but otherwise, almost the beginning of almost every surah is glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on, and many other places in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned himself in ways, he didn't just introduce himself intellectually or in a disembodied fashion, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in a way that relates to us. It relates to us in terms of those things which we consider to be important. And as I mentioned, in terms of our fundamental anxieties about life and our fears, his introduction, Jalla Jalaluhu, is such that it allays those fears and removes those anxieties and replaces them with a sense of comfort and a sense of confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we know as tawakkul. So in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, Qul, say to them, Allahumma malikal mulk. Allah, it is my Rabb, my Allah. Allahumma, it's a term of such closeness and affection between the Rabb and his Abd. Allahumma malikal mulk. He is the one who owns the earth. Al-Mulk is not only the earth. Al-Mulk is all possessions. So he is the, which is everything which is created. And here in this case, it means the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Malik al-Ard. He said Malik al-Mulk. So everything, and this earth is, you know, a minuscule part of that. It's like a dot. What else is there other than the earth is infinitely bigger and more significant. So قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Now mulk also refers to authority. It refers to government, it refers to authority. So therefore mulk is milkiyat, which is possession, which also refers to the fact that because it is your possession, you have authority over it, you can do what you want with it. You can buy it, you can sell it, you can build on it, you can dig a, if you own, for example, a piece of ground, you can dig a hole in it if you want, you can build put a building on it, it's yours, you can do what you want. So al-mulk also refers to that, it refers to authority, it refers to control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that say to them that all control, all possession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of that He gives control and authority to who He wants and he takes it away from who he wants. So if you reflect in our own lives, one of our primary anxieties is what will happen to me. Why do we accumulate wealth? Nobody accumulates wealth for the pleasure of counting notes. In today's world, the money is sitting in a bank somewhere. In any case, you can't count it. And even if in the olden days, people, you have these visions of people sitting with bags of gold and gold coins and, you know, sitting and counting them. That is not there. Second thing is that even if you did that, today, thanks to our storage systems and so on and so forth, you will know in one instant the total sum total of your wealth. So it's you don't even have the satisfaction of counting it for 10 years before you know how much it is. So the point is that it's not a question. You don't accumulate wealth for that reason. It's not for. Second thing is you don't people whoever accumulates wealth. You also don't accumulate it for the luxury that it can buy. Even people who are addicted to buying and this and that, and who want to live ostentatious lives, even they. Nobody blows all his wealth on one house, or nobody blows all his wealth on one holiday. So all of that is part of having wealth. The real reason for having wealth, and this is across the board, the real reason for having wealth is to have security, is to have control, is to have authority. If I have enough money, then I can shield myself from the vagaries of fate. I can shield myself from the threats of society, from the threats of economic ups and downs, from threats of people, physical threats, and from economic threats and so on. This is the belief that if I have enough money, I can shield. I have multiple shields. I have got this fallback plan, that fallback plan, this contingency, that contingency. If everything falls apart, I have an island somewhere. I'm going to sit on this island. And the island is, it has, I have this bunker. There are people actually, believe me, there are people in today's world who have actually the billionaires of the world. quite understandably, all of them probably are in America. I have not seen any other non-American name. It's a society which is based on fear, on living with fear. So they have these enormous bunkers that they live in, which are, God knows, deep underground, steel encased and God knows what, and they are supposed to be all kinds of bomb proof and nuclear blast proof and so on and whatnot, and they have armed security guards around them. So when somebody was explaining this to me, I said to them, who will save them from their own security guards? So you've got a security guard there. You are saying, well, I am going to be safe with my family inside my bunker. And I am being guarded by a security guard whose family is not safe from anything, because that poor guard's family is living in some village or God knows where they are living, in some flat in New York. So you think that guard is going to now sacrifice his life and his whole family to save your family and your life? I mean, this is a complete vacuum in the head. So the whole point I am saying is that even people who have a lot of money, the real reason for that is power and authority. Why do you want power and authority? Because it gives you security. Or you believe that. Okay, if I own this country, then I can do what I want. Right? So I don't have to worry. Now, if I own the country, then I don't have to worry about any government. Or I am the government. Right? I am the state. I don't. So the whole issue of the fundamental quest of the individual is to find security. From the time he starts thinking, he looks for security. Right? And one of the ways of getting the security, or probably as far as we are concerned today, the only way of getting the security is by having enough money. What is enough money? Allah only knows. There is no definition for enough money. But to have enough money. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here very clearly that is not going to give you security. You can have all the money in the world, you will still be insecure. All the money in the world, you will still be insecure. Genghis Khan ruled over the largest land empire of anyone in the history of mankind. He had gold and silver like you won't believe. He used to have, there were thousands of carts of gold and silver coins that used to follow the army. When the governor of the Muslim empire of which controlled Samarkand and Bukhara and all the Khorasan and so on, the whole history behind this, what happened and how it happened, because Genghis Khan wiped them out completely, they ceased to exist. But the one who started that was one of the governors of the Sultan. And this governor eventually was brought into the presence of Genghis Khan. He was caught by his own people and given to Genghis Khan. So Genghis Khan, this governor said to him that I will give you whatever it was, you know, million, 10 million silver coins, right, as ransom for myself. So please release me. So Genghis Khan said, go and show him the silver I have. And they took him to show him thousands of carts of gold and silver. And they brought him back. And Genghis Khan said to him that since you like silver so much, then I am sentencing you to death by drinking silver. So he said, melt silver and pour it into his mouth until his belly is full. That's how he was killed, by molten silver being poured into his mouth. The reason I'm saying that is because here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that even if you have... The reason I mentioned Genghis Khan is that here was this man who had all of this gold and silver. He ruled, he was absolute ruler of the entire place, right? So there was no threat to him from anybody. He was surrounded by his army. He lived in the army. He was probably the only king who never built a palace. He lived in a yurt. He lived in a tent for his entire life. And he lived in the middle of his army, right? Now, despite that, how did he die? He died because his wife killed him. By the hand of his wife. He had two wives. He had a Chinese wife and he had a Mongolian wife. The first wife was Mongolian, second wife was Chinese. His Chinese wife killed him. And again, there's a reason behind it and so on. But the point I'm making is that all that security could not save him from death. And nothing can save you from death. I mean, you can live inside your bunker. The only difference is that you will die in the bunker. That's it. And instead of dying out in the air looking at the sun, you will die in a bunker somewhere. So the whole point is here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. We just do this one. When you have the mulk and authority, what do you think you have? You have izzah. Let me not go into this actually. Let me end with this. First part of this first ayah, we'll do this properly tomorrow, inshallah. Bismillah ta'ala. So, mulk is authority, it is control, which is in turn something that gives you security, which is your fundamental quest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is mine. I will give it to who I want, and I can take it away from who I want. So, all that you are trying to do, and this refers to doing things, you are trying to do things to get this at the cost of the pleasure of Allah. That's where it means. So you think money will give you, money will not give it to you. You think authority, political power will give this to you, political power will not give this to you. You think arms and ammunition and armies will give this to you, arms and ammunition and armies will not give this to you. There is only one who can give it to you, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and He gives it to who He wants. Man tasha. تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. He can take it away from who He wants, whoever He wants. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And He can give it to whoever He wants. Let us inshallah contemplate on this and say, what is it that I need to do in order to be the one to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant security, will grant authority, and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take into His comfort and into His authority. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased, never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.